Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Pastor David Roberts, where it's all about real talk, real issues, and real answers. Here's Pastor.
Father, we just give you all the praise and the glory and honor for this another opportunity to stand before you as your children by your precious blood. We thank you for the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit sent that we might have the advantage, and we receive that advantage right now by faith. So my confidence is in you, Holy Spirit, and thinking through my mind and speaking through my lips, I receive that grace right now, Lord, to be able to minister excellently to your people, and I give you all the glory. So I thank you right now that as your word is going forth and people are coming underneath the power and the influence and impact of this word, I think it will produce fruit and results in their lives, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and ultimately 100-fold return. We all give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. We want to welcome everybody as we're getting into this evening. This is going to be a powerful, powerful time. Now, again, we're working under the influence of word that stuck on the inside of me, a month and a half ago or so, regarding how to be able to live or break free from a self-centered life, I received it. There's all kinds of scriptures and references to that, but I received it as a word, from the Lord. So obviously I've learned over history and a lot of time and experience that's an emphasis. He wants me to drive that. He wants me to take that word and break it down for his people to be able to bring that in actualization, how to be able to break free from a self-centered life. Now, without spending a lot of time into it, because we're going to be working on that theme for a while, we know that, when you're living a self-centered life, it's just putting you in the place where Jesus needs to be.
Right.
Okay, and we know all the detrimental things that take place when we get that out of order, is where we're focusing on ourselves. It makes the enemy strategy come alive against us. Okay. Because there's nothing, if you think about it, there's nothing that he can do against us when we're not self-centered. He can't hurt you. You won't be offended. The only reason why a person could be offended is because they're in the center, and they're taking something personal that don't even belong to them. so forth. So there's not a strategy. There's no strife that can happen without self-centeredness. It takes, two to tangle. So if someone just refuses to tangle, the Bible says you take away the wood, strife will cease, the fire will go out, so forth. So any attack from the enemy or towards us is banked on us being self-centered. Mm-hmm. He needs us to be self-centered. We said and showed through scripture in Genesis chapter number 3 that immediately when, Adam did what he did and, so forth, and the whole high treason towards God took place, the first manifestation of the fall was self-centeredness. Mm-hmm. All right. The Bible says, and the eyes of them were open.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that talks about an awareness,
right,
okay, that they didn't have before,
mm-hmm,
and their eyes were open and they knew that they were naked, and they were ashamed. So, and then all of a sudden, up out of their self-centeredness, they sold fig leaves trying to cover up the shame of their nakedness. Everything was born up out of this self-centeredness,
mm-hmm.
Then God, says, why are you where you are, Adam? And he says, well, the woman gave it to me to eat. So immediately the self-centeredness moves over into shift blaming.
Right.
And Eve, what's going on? Well, the serpent, everyone's, shift blaming. No one can receive responsibility or just be honest and, hone up to it, so forth. My point is, all of that is born up out of self-centeredness.
Right.
Okay. So forth. So we've been talking about that. Now, we got into some stuff, if you guys have been listening or watching some of the vlogs that we put out this week, but we were breaking down some things regarding how through the word do you break self-centeredness. Okay. We said, number one, and just understanding. Number one, we said, because his grace is greater than any problem or obstacle you might be facing. All right. So in other words, many times people can be self-absorbed and self-centered and so forth because there's a problem. Their problem, their issue, their situation that is so dominating their thinking that it's now beginning to dominate their emotions. Okay. So how do you reverse that? Is when you understand that God's grace is greater than any knot that the enemy can get into your life. All right. The Bible says where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound. So if God's grace is not equal with problems, it is superior than problems. Why focus on the problem? Why focus on the results of the problem? Because the Bible says grace does much more abound,
yes.
You know, so forth. So that's why, you know, grace will get your mind off your problem, you know, because it will much more abound, you know. We said, secondly, is because grace by definition liberates.
Right.
All right. It by definition liberates. In other words, when a person embraces the grace of God, it will free you from self-centeredness because grace by definition liberates you. All right. The Bible says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, grace, wherewith Christ has made you free, made you free, you know. So grace by actual definition liberates an individual. The Bible says in Romans 6 and verse number 14 is another good one. It says, this is awesome. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. You know, he's talking like grace liberates you from sin. It doesn't give you a license to sin. Mm-hmm. It liberates you from it. You know, he says now something that will cause sin to come alive in your life is legalistic thinking, works-based thinking, law. You know, he says sin shall not have dominion over you because you ain't under the law no more. Amen. You're under grace.
Right.
As if grace frees you. It frees you. All right. So by definition, because it frees you, it will free you from self-centeredness. Praise God. Thirdly, and this is our jumping off point. Y'all ready? All right. This is the jumping off point. Third reason why it will free you from self-centeredness is because it is given without any strings. God's grace is given without any strings. Now, you know, this week when I was doing my work and so forth and doing some traveling and all this. And I don't mind it as well because I get a chance to really meditate on things. I can hear the word and just really focus while you kind of get locked into that distance driving thing. But I was just meditating on this and I'm just telling you the Holy Ghost just begin to, there's certain things he wants to talk about, you know. There's certain things that, you know, you won't talk about and he's silent on, you know,
yeah.
But then you stumble into something that he wants to talk about and he'll just flow and he'll just flow, you know. And this is something he wanted to talk to me about is regarding this particular point right here, that grace by definition is a gift and it is given because it's a gift without any strings. I can't express to you how strongly he was emphasizing that to me this week. No strings. You know, remember how the Bible talks about how Jesus would be ministering and it might be in some small group or even some larger group settings. And the scripture says that Jesus knowing their thoughts and he will begin to address things that weren't even spoken audibly. It was just in the thought realm. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to pick up on thoughts and address them, you know, just from their thinking, right? My point is that's what the Holy Ghost was doing to me because there wasn't nobody in the car and I wasn't talking to nobody, but I was thinking it, you know, and I was meditating upon this. And just because that was coming in my mind, he would speak just that quick and say, no strings, absolutely no strings attached. That's why the gospel is good news.
Right.
Amen.
By definition, you know, what Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That, you know, I remember teaching on this years ago, and there are certain commentaries which literally translate or expound on it by calling it almost too good to be true news.
Yeah, right.
It's true, but it's so good, it's almost too good to be true news. That the word gospel outside of the Bible, you know, so forth, in that Judean time period, so forth, was rarely used. Rarely used. It was not a mainstream word, you know, because there wasn't anything that was almost too good to be true.
Yeah.
So that's why when this term, you know, started getting published, you know, John the Baptist and Jesus was speaking. It was radical stuff, you know. And when he began to explain the revelation of why it is too good to be true, especially by way of Paul, when that revelation began to get perfectly articulated, you know, by the Apostle Paul, it was so radical. It was so radical that people would take what Paul was saying wrongly. So they will say things like you would see in chapter 6 of verse 1 of Romans. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. But in other words, what Paul was saying was so radical. People, and you know, goofy people, would take it like you're saying, you mean we can just do whatever we want to do then, Paul? You know? But my point is that my point is this. If grace is preached right, people can take it in ways that are not, that's what we're saying. But they can take it in some kind of other angle if it's preached the right way. Yeah. Because it's radical. There's no way around it. The gospel is radical because the news of it is absolutely awesome and astounding that God literally would bless us and enable us to be carriers and beneficiaries of his mighty grace, which is everything he is, everything he has, and everything he can do. And he would dispose or make available his grace, all right, with no strings. No strings.
That's good.
So when you start talking about, you know, salvation, because it's not that difficult. It's just because we got our society has messed people's thinking up, and you got to overcome, you know, because everything in our world has strings.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everything that we can relate to and society as we know it, there is, if you peel the onion far enough, there's strings attached. It's most people, I was saying this, it's not like I can did a scientific academic survey on this or anything, but it's just my feel. Praise God, so I stand behind it, that people are very fortunate if they have more than one person in their life that they have a no strings attachment relationship with. They're very fortunate if they got, you know, more than one, you know, that they know chips down, no matter what goes down, they're going to be with me, you know, so forth. My point is because that's so rare. That's why when you start talking about the gospel and God says, I have made available all of my grace separate from anything you've ever done or anything you ever will do. What you do does not qualify you for it. What you do doesn't disqualify you from it because it is without strings. Freely is the expression. Freely he has given unto us. Freely we receive. Praise God. All right. So it's given. My point is that if a person gets to meditate in it, you know, so you know, what I'm doing, you know, just occupation wise right now for a season, praise the Lord. I'm dealing with these, you know, some of these professional folks and insurance people and, you know, whatever. So I got to go in, explain some things. And some of it is especially where there's no relationship established. So I got to go in there talking and introducing and, you know, being a conversationalist a little bit, you know, so forth. And sometimes they'll yell me. You know how you're talking. You got a card. And, you know. They ain't really listening to you. Their mind is on whatever they was doing before I walked in the door. You know, and they're just, okay, yeah, okay, nice. You know. So, okay, we'll give you a call somewhere. You know. And they're doing that to me sometimes, you know. But I believe that a lot of times Christians are in the gospel. You know, Jesus died. They're in the gospel. They're not thinking of, do you know what this is saying? Do you understand the radicalness of what has been bestowed upon us? That he has turned all of his grace over to us, praise God, without any strings. Mm-hmm. Without any strings. My point is, the more you meditate on that, the more you forget about your stuff.
Amen.
And you'll get swallowed up in the good news. Mm-hmm. Glory be to God. Mm-hmm. And you'll begin to think about what's available to me that I haven't been taking advantage of. But I can now.
See.
I can now. Mm-hmm. Praise God. It's about to be on like popcorn because I'm about to take advantage of this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, my point is, because of the gospel and the potency of it, you begin to understand why the devil works overtime to get you to be, get your mind on somebody else, mm-hmm. get your mind on something else, mm-hmm. get your mind on what the president and them doing, get your mind on what's going on over here. You know, try to get you bothered by this, trying to get your heart to be troubled by this over here. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants you to feel that little funny thing that's over by your ribs and, mm-hmm. you know, get your mind on that. And yeah. is it getting bigger? And go look in the mirror. And, you know, he just, you're working overtime to preoccupy, get your mind on anything else but this right here.
Yeah. So true.
Okay, so far, but his goose is cooked because I'm going to do everything I can to get this word out, praise God, and so forth. So just understanding that there is absolutely no strings attached to his grace whatsoever. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, and just to give some scriptures with this, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, and you guys are all veterans, but this is great stuff to see anyway. But Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Lest any man should boast. So there's absolutely no strings. Absolutely no strings. The Bible speaks another one that's worth looking at is Romans 3 and verse number 24. Romans 3 and verse number 24. It says, "Being justified freely," there's that no strings attachment thing, "freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Freely by his grace. Okay. See, a lot of times you have to go there. To make people get out of religious thinking where they're yeah-yeah-ing. Mm-hmm. And they get them to say, "You mean that covers?" Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. You got to go line item. Mm-hmm. So for example, most Christians do not understand that the grace for prosperity financially, even though we know prosperity is more than finances, mm-hmm. but it does cover it as well. Mm-hmm. The grace for finances is not based upon your giving.
Right.
No. That would be a string.
That would be a string.
Mm-hmm. That I would have to do this for him to do this.
Yeah.
That's called a string.
Right.
We're used to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
But you're saying, like when it says 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." There's grace for that. Mm-hmm. There is a grace that will bring abundance in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, that grace is not hinged on you tithing. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That grace is not hinged on you giving a nickel. Mm-hmm. It's freely given. Mm-hmm. Glory be to God. Mm-hmm. Freely given. Yeah. Well, we're not supposed to give. Well, but then I will cover that later. Mm-hmm. But the grace can't be bought.
Mm-hmm.
The grace can't be earned.
No.
That is the gift of God. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if you start with salvation and work up, it all makes sense. Because when a person received Jesus as their savior, was there any strings with that?
No.
Did a person have to make a deal with Jesus?
No.
You know, that Jesus said, "Okay, if you quit doing this for 30 days, we'll review your salvation case." And because it's pending. It's pending right now. Okay, until you get it together. And if you get it together, then I might stamp it for you. Mm. Saved. there was no strings. That's why it's good news to the guy, good news to the lady, so forth, that he would receive me after all the dirty, rotten, evil, selfish, self-centered things I've ever done, so forth. Yes, because there's no strings, no strings. All right. Another thing that I think is absolutely awesome, you know, in Romans 1 and verse number 16, Romans 1, verse number 16, where he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He says, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone to believe, the Jew first, also to the Greek. Verse number 17. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God revealed. In other words, it's a display of how righteous he is. Glory be to God that he would turn it over to us without any strings. It doesn't reveal our righteousness, because ours is like filthy rags. But it reveals the power of God and the salvation, that he would give it as a gift. It reveals his righteousness, how awesome he is, how powerful he is. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm telling you, this is literally what I'm talking about, why it's hot and fresh, so forth. I said, how can you be so generous? How can you be so generous? If I'm hearing this right, right? Because I go at the word like it's my first time hearing it, you know, so forth. If I'm hearing this right, so forth, because this is what he was ministering to me. If I'm hearing this right, Lord, no strings. You know, you're adamant about that. You were very adamant. No strings. So I went there and got the thing. Nope. How can you be so generous? Because, see, we have a hard time with that concept because we think abuse, you know, that if someone's just going to turn it over, you know, somebody's just going to be abusing something. We think waste. We think, because our thinking has been dominated by fear. Our thinking has been limited, you know, by sense realm stuff.
Right.
So I'm asking, Lord, how can you be so generous? And he gave me these three things. Okay. Number one is because he's the Almighty God. He cannot be depleted. So, you know, turning over his grace does not diminish him. It does not take away from him. He doesn't get weaker because he done gave us his grace. He's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough.
Yes.
All right. This is who he is. This is who he is. You know, he doesn't go. He doesn't decrease by his giving, you know, so forth. Nothing. It's not taking away from him. So you ain't got to worry that he's getting, that something's getting, you know, abused.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So forth. Secondly, it's because God is not insecure. This powerful stuff, isn't it?
Amen.
Right. God's not insecure. The Bible says God is love.
Yes.
He doesn't have it. He doesn't use it. All right. He doesn't wear it when he needs to. He is love. And that word is agape. Unconditional love. No strings attached. That's who he is. Hallelujah. That's who he is. He doesn't do something because he's in a good mood.
Right.
You know, he's not just feeling generous. This is who he is. He is no strings attached.
Right.
No strings attached. All right. This is who God is. So he's not insecure. He's not insecure. So in other words, if a person wants to try to abuse something, he's not insecure. You know, a lot of times, you know, you'll get, you know, parents that need their children. They'll need something from their children. They need them to be their friend. They need, you see, that's a bad place to be. That's a bad place. You know, so forth. God's not insecure like that. You know, so forth. So he doesn't need anything from anyone. Praise God. He doesn't need anything. So because he doesn't need anything, so forth, he can, whatever he does is without any kind of strings. You know, I gave the example before, if Bill Gates was, you know, multi-billionaire guy, if he were to come across, you know, some lady that's, you know, had a hard time and some unfortunate things took place and, you know, so forth, and found herself on even on government assistance. And, you know, he came across her and he says, you know what, I'm going to give you, you know, $5,000, you know, he don't need nothing from that lady.
Mm-mm. No,
there ain't nothing that lady on the surface can do for him.
Right.
So the only reason why he's being benevolent, only reason why, is he just wants to help her.
Right. That's nice.
He just wants to help her. You understand what I'm talking about? This is God. Okay. All right. He don't need nothing. Praise God. He is love. All right. And thirdly, and this is it. This is it. Thirdly, all right, is because God knows to believe grace is to receive grace. To believe it is to receive it. But you gotta get it like this. This is how it came to me. To believe in this grace, there's no strings attached. To believe that has been made available unto you is to receive grace. Mm-hmm. That's what we've shown you over years of what happened when what's that boy's name? Jacob. When God showed up in that dream. And was just displaying what he wanted to do for him. Mm-hmm. I want to bring you into this land. I want to give you this. I want to do this. I'll make your name great. Mm-hmm. I'll see that nobody hurts you. Mm-hmm. You know, so forth. I'll protect you until I do everything I've spoken of in your life. So forth. Grace. Jacob believed it.
He did.
And therefore he received it. Yes. In other words, and the fruit was graciousness came up out of his life.
Right, man.
So he began to, the next morning, he wakes up a changed man. Right. Graciousness is pouring up out of him. Mm-hmm. He used to be the get over guy. Yes. He used to be the guy that whether you realize it or not, he's angling you. He's up to something. Mm-hmm. He got some ulterior motives going on here. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden now he a changed dude. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. Anything you give me, 10%. God didn't say nothing about tithing. God didn't say nothing about giving. Right. He never mentioned none of that in Genesis 28.
Yeah.
You know, where is this coming from? It must be some spiritual dynamic in motion that when you believe the grace, you receive it. Mm-hmm. Where grace comes on the inside of you.
Yeah.
And starts to work on the inside of you. Mm-hmm. And it will begin to produce things or graciousness on the outside of you. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to sing the song, something on the inside, you know, working on the outside. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a change in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, we go forever. I got joy on the inside, mm-hmm. working on the outside. Oh, what a change. And you know, so far, you just go, you know, because that's literally what begins to take place.
Right.
You know, when you believe it, you receive it and it will begin to work graciousness in your life, praise God. We gave the example, woman at the well, Jesus ministered to her, pouring, showering this defeated lady. And this lady's been beat down, you know, by life and relationship disasters and, you know, so forth. She believed the grace. She came there to get water.
Right.
But she got free from her self-centeredness. Because she's only there at that time because she's thinking about herself.
Right.
She came at the hottest time in the day because she knew no other ladies would be there because she's thinking about her and so forth. The Bible says after Jesus got the pouring grace upon her and just affirming her and blessing her, the Bible says she left her water pot and went back to her hometown and said, come see a man that told me everything. It's not this to Christ. You know, so forth. What's going on here? The reason why she was there at that time of day is because she didn't want to be around for people to murmur and complain or give her evil looks and all that kind of stuff. Was she self-centered? Maybe she had good reason to it. But, you know, she was there because of that. She goes to the same people that she'd been trying to avoid and starts preaching to them. What kind of freedom is that?
Yeah.
What kind of freedom is this?
Yeah.
Something worked on the inside of her. She believed the grace.
That's right. That's right.
Therefore, she received the grace.
Right.
And it produced graciousness. Mm-hmm. Zacchaeus, remember the same guy?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was a crook, tax collector. They were notorious for being underhanded, dirty, you know, so forth. Their scales weren't even balanced right. You know, so it was always on their favor so they get more money out of people. You know, Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to eat at your house today. I'm going to stay at your house today in front of everyone that knows that he's a cheat.
Yeah, yeah.
That he's dirty, rotten, no good. And you publicly would affirm him like that? Like, I know who you are. And I'm not ashamed to be associated with you and going and eating at your house today. I'm saying this in front of all of them. That blessed the boy and so liberated him that you would stick up for me. That you would, even though, you know, I ain't always right. They ain't been right. Haven't done things right. Mm-hmm. You would still want to come to my house.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden this man begins, something's working. This man says, Lord, have my goods. I give to the poor. And if I've, you know, taken anything by false thing, I'll restore fourfold. Jesus ain't saying nothing about no giving. He didn't say anything about restoring. My point is, these are three clear examples that believing the grace is to receive the grace, and it will begin to work graciousness in your life. So if a person, going back to the original analogy, if a person says, I want to give so God can bless me, all right? And that's why most people's giving is not working for them, because the only way to mess up a gift is try to earn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only thing you could do to gum it up is you try to add something to it. Right. Okay. Right. And you're going to put your caboose to his engine, you know, so forth, and mess the whole thing up. All right. Romans chapter number 11 makes it very plain. He says in verse number 6, he says, and if grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. It's not what Jesus did plus what we do equals the blessing. No, it's 100% what Jesus did, zero us equals everything.
Yeah.
Okay? But if we take it as 60% or 70, oh, we're real good. 90% Jesus, 10% us equals nothing.
Nothing.
That's what the scripture's saying again, Romans 11 and 6. It's one or the other. One or the other. All right, we add nothing to this spiritual equation. It is given completely by grace. So when a person believes grace, they receive grace. It works graciousness. Now I'm not giving to get blessed.
Right.
I'm giving up out of the overflow that I am blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, you know, and that subtle thing right there makes all the difference in the world. You know, so giving should be a fruit of grace. You know,
right.
I'm not doing it to get it, earn it, press into it. No, I give as an overflow because I believe the grace.
Yeah.
Therefore, a want to is working on the inside. All right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So forth. So with that, y'all got time for one more little piece here I want to add on.
Oh, yes.
Okay. One more little piece I want to add on. All right. Titus chapter 2. And verse number 11, Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. I'm telling you, what's been said so far is absolutely just phenomenal. And it's not like I'm the author of it, so I ain't toot my own horn. I'm just articulating what he has already done. All right. But Titus 2 and verse number 11 is, as I want to bring attention to something, and let's go a little bit more detail of what we kind of launched off into so far. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Okay. So the grace of God, all right, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Everybody got it? Okay.
Yeah.
So he means exactly what he's saying. When he says all men, it's not all saved men. That's all people, all humans that are on the planet. The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. All right. The question now is, are all men going to be saved? All right. Are all people on the planet going to receive salvation, you know, where heaven could be their home? And we know the answer is sadly no. Even though the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, all right, then what's the problem? We're not saved. Watch this. Watch this. We're not saved by grace alone. Because if we were saved by grace alone, then all men would be saved. Then all would be, men would be saved. We're saved by grace through faith. All right. So that means, was it Hebrews chapter 4 talks about how the gospel was preached unto them, but it didn't, because it wasn't mixed with faith. All right. It didn't profit them at all, you know. So it's not just grace. In other words, that's the gift, but the gift has to be received for it to have benefit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So for a person could offer you all kinds of things. But if a person says, nope, I pay my own way. Nope, I don't receive gifts. I don't believe in that. You know, Well, then it'll do them no good.
No.
You know, because they refuse to receive the gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So the simplicity of this is phenomenal. That grace must be believed for it to bring or to go into effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or else it could be there and dormant. So that means the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So that means every person that went to hell, okay, it's sad, okay, the grace was right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the reason why that they are not in heaven today is sadly because they never received what was right before them.
Yeah.
Was right before them. Because the Bible says it hath appeared to all men. They had to reject it.
Mm-hmm.
It was right there the whole time. All right. When you get that, now we can keep going with it if we follow the same principle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it'll begin to open up the world to you. So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same with healing. It's the same with any and everything else, all right, which is a part of the totality of grace. It's right there.
Yeah.
It's right there for every last one of us, for everything, praise God.
Yeah.
It's right there. But it won't be able to profit you until it is believed, praise God, all right, where it now can begin to go into operation. Okay, so we know things regarding, and this is the point I want to make, is just the reality of the grace, the reality of it. Okay, it has been given. Remember, and I'm just going to move a little quick. Remember in Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 5, when God was dealing with Abraham and he says, you know, told him, don't call yourself Abram no more, but call yourself Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Mm-hmm. Past tense. I've already made thee. So that means the grace for him to be Abraham was already there.
Mm-hmm.
So even in his childlessness, that had nothing to do with the grace to be a father of nations being right before him. According to God, I have already released the grace for you to be the father of many nations. It was there, even though you're walking around with not a child and grieved by not a child and hurt by not having a child and frustrated by not having a child. I'm just telling you, if I made you, I have already made you a father of many nations.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make him when Sarah finally conceived.
Mm-hmm.
We know, and if you do some Bible scholar work, we know that when did he make him a father of many nations? Before the foundation of the world. It wasn't maybe a decade before he started to deal with him. And so far, the Bible says in Genesis that, you know, on the sixth day, the seventh day he rested, because in the 6 days he finished all his work.
Yeah.
All his work, all of it, praise God. Everything in your life he did during at the end of that 6 day, praise God. There's nothing that happened now. He says, okay, give us a day. We're going to come up with something for you on that. Everything in the eyes of God, because he sees everything, you know. He's omniscient, you know, he's omnipresent. He sees everything. He knows it all, you know, so forth. So that's why he told, what's the one young man with Jeremiah? He told him, he says, before I formed you, I already knew you and had already ordained you.
Right.
Okay. So that means all the grace that Jeremiah was going to need was already given before God formed him in his mother's womb.
Yeah,
man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So my point is, if we can settle that the grace has been given, just like salvation, and the grace is there, we don't have to come. They don't have to pray for salvation, for God to send Jesus again, to go get on a cross again, mm-hmm. and go die and go to hell and get resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's already done. It's already been paid for. Mm-hmm. So forth. So there's nothing to pray about.
Right.
All they got to do is mix faith with it. To receive it, praise God. Mm-hmm. That's all that has to happen because there are no strings.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yes. There are no strings. Mm-hmm. All right. And to believe it is to receive it, mm-hmm. and it will start working graciousness in your life.
Right.
You know, that's why we say grace doesn't make you lascivious. Grace makes you gracious.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you gracious.
Yeah.
You know, proof that you believe it, you know, is graciousness working in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if graciousness and whatever, you know, angle of that, whether it's, you know, being generous financially or, you know, being compassionate towards people, you know, and whatever manifestation of it is going to, it'll produce that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you believe you're blessed, you will be a blessing,
right.
because it will produce that result, that fruit mm-hmm. of believing what God has done for me mm-hmm. releases me to be just like him towards you.
Man, that's awesome.
Hallelujah. It releases me. I will give birth to it organically.
Yes.
I'm not trying to produce it.
Right.
I'm not trying to work something. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to prove. I'm not trying to be worthy. I'm not trying to somehow, you know, justify, you know. It becomes an organic manifestation of his goodness working in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know. So, you know, we get the example of when the prophet Elijah was Elisha, when he was in the valley, and the Bible says that, you know, his little servant went out to get some water.
Yeah.
And the Bible says while he was going out there, I see him whistling. I don't know about you, but I just see him whistling. I can't whistle. That's why I can't do it right now. So forth or tomorrow. But I see him in my head whistling, you know, while he's going out to get some water. And all of a sudden he looks up and he sees the Syrian army, you know, surrounding them. So army. Okay. And that's what the scripture says. Okay. The Syrians, the army. All right. So, you know, you got at least probably about 1,000 folks, you know, whatever the legion is, you know, you got 1,000 soldiers, you know, and he's like, you know, 1,000. 1, 2. 1,000.
Oh, yeah.
1, 2. Uh-huh. And Bob says he runs back in, drops, gets off his assignment, so forth, runs back in. My master, what shall we do? What shall we do? And this is what the prophet prayed. Lord, open his eyes. All right. He says, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. See what? What already is.
Yes.
And it was the angels. Mm-hmm. They're already. That's just another part of the grace package that's been given unto us. Mm-hmm. Don't earn angels. Mm-hmm. Don't deserve angels. Their assistance, their help, their aid. But they've been given.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They've been given. Now you can make them bored, you know, by not turning them loose, but they ain't got nothing to do with God, you know. And the reality is they're there,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
ready to minister for them that are heirs of salvation.
Mm-hmm. Man, yeah.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. He said, Lord, open their eyes. He didn't pray to send angels.
Right.
No. He said, Lord, just open his eyes. They're real and they're here. They're real and they're here.
Mm-hmm.
Just because our senses can give no evidence of their reality mm-hmm. does not diminish the reality that they are here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. so forth. The angels that are here with us tonight, praise God.
Amen.
They're here. They're right. They've been given. They go where you go.
Yes.
Hallelujah. They're with us all the time. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. See, this is my point is, see, when we start operating by the reality of grace, mm-hmm. that if the Bible says he's given it, you got it.
Mm-hmm. Man.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start walking with him now. Mm-hmm. And now you'll start worshiping him because this is what the scripture says. God is a spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those, therefore, that worship him. You want to really worship God? Yeah. Okay. Understand he's a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He's a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
Because spirit is truth.
Yeah.
Praise God. That's more real than this. Spiritual things are more real than natural things. And when you live accordingly, like they really are, okay, now you're going to worship him now. When you start giving more respect to spiritual things, the reality that they are there, I have it, praise God. You're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And the Bible says the Father seeketh such. When the scripture talks about, you know, we ought to walk in the spirit, that's walking in the light of spiritual reality, you know. So when the Bible says, for example, I'm getting ready to bring it to a close, all right? But the Bible says in Ephesians 1 in verse number 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing. That means, again, you can't I'm saying it right. Okay. You can't. You got to meditate that. You know, when people say, yeah, that's good. And then, and 30 minutes later, praying to be blessed. How are you going to pray for something that the Bible says he's already blessed you with all? What does he have left? I've said forever, my little saying, he don't have nothing in his pockets. He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Oh, yeah, there's one thing I did forget. Let me give you this. Hang on. Forgive me for that. Forgive me for that. Just an oversight. You know, I've been doing this a long time. You know, so forth. He has nothing in his pockets. There's nothing that he's withholding from us. It's all been poured out. Hallelujah. It's all been poured out. It's right here. Okay, it's right here. You have it. Hallelujah. Yeah. So you don't have to. You don't have to fast to be blessed. I'm fasting so I can increase the blessing on my life. You know, that's a strength.
Right.
Doesn't mean we don't fast, but they're doing it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
It's like the giving. They got it backwards. You know what I'm saying? And therefore, it's not going to work for you. You're just going to be hungry. You're going to lose weight. And you're going to be hungry. But it's going to be the same you when you get done.
Right.
You know? Because you didn't go at it with light. You didn't go with understanding. You didn't go after it based upon the New Testament. You went after with this Old Testament thing that some church mama done put on you and made you think that you got to, you know, do this to somehow get over into it.
Right.
No, the Bible says, who have blessed us. There's fasting doesn't make you more blessed than what Jesus has done.
No.
You can't get more blessed than you are this split second. Praise God. You can't get more blessed.
Wow.
The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 and 3, who hath blessed us with all things that pertain to life. And the Bible says he's given us all things that pertain to life. And that means I have it.
Right.
Glory be to God.
Yeah.
I have it. In the practicalness of this, because there's no strings, all you have to do is believe that you have that. Hallelujah. And as I told you before, you can't be vague with the kingdom. Because it doesn't work by vagueness.
No.
You know, Lord, I just receive it all. No, you receive nothing. You receive nothing. Because it doesn't work like that. Well, I don't think so. Well, I got Bible to prove it. You know? And I gave you example because Jesus, remember they said, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus said, to see me is to see the Father.
Right.
Okay? So we can take how Jesus dealt with it. That's how the Father is. Okay? Because he was the express image of the Father. So they were in sync. Jesus was the perfect representation of the Father. All right. He wasn't independent or maverick at all or in any way.
Right.
No. All right. So Jesus made blind Bartimaeus articulate. What would you have me to do for you? OK, we're getting the consensus of how the Godhead approaches this. It doesn't work by vagueness.
No.
Lord, just bless me. All right. Doesn't work like that. doesn't, like I said, and vagueness equals nothingness.
Right.
Vague Christians. Can you pray for me? Okay, what you want me to pray for? I don't know. Just pray for me. Okay, that equals nothing.
Right.
That equals nothing, because that's not how Jesus handled it.
No.
No, Jesus. You tell me what would you have me to do for you?
Sure.
Okay. This is how the kingdom operates. Mm-hmm. So my point is, you know how the scripture talks about growing grace?
Mm-hmm.
You grow in grace by growing in the knowledge of all this itemization. You mean that I can have that? Mm-hmm. You mean I can have that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mean there's grace for a supernatural turnaround?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've already made that available. You don't have to worry about mistakes, whether people helped with it or you did it to you. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter. There's grace that I've already allocated for a supernatural turnaround in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Where sin does abound, that's missing it. That's missing it. Missing the mark is sin. Grace does much more. I've made grace available to not only undo every mistake you made, every mistake by the society that you were in, and you had, and you got society mentalities that led to mistakes, every iniquity type thinking that you inherited that led to mistakes, so forth. I factored it all. My grace is so powerful and so sufficient. It will not only rectify all the damage that was done, it will bring you to a wealthy place that you've never known before. That's why he says in Isaiah 61, for your shame, you shall have double. He just said it generally, shame. Like the source of it doesn't matter.
Right.
Doesn't matter. You shall have double. You mean there's grace for supernatural turnaround? You better believe there is. So I don't have to grieve no longer, like the best days is behind me, you know, and everything else is just kind of downhill from here on. Your life just getting started if you want it.
That's right.
If you want it. The grace for it is right here.
Mm-hmm.
Deal with people all the time. And the way they talk, their life is over.
Right.
And they're just like, you know, I'm just trying to get my kids not to make the dumb mistakes I made. I'm just trying to get them, you know. Well, you ain't going to help them like that.
Right.
You know, because they're reading you as the book. You know, and if your life is so fragile that a couple mistakes in your life is all it takes for you to be feeling like it's over, then you've setting them up to be condemned and depressed. The moment something don't go right in their life, they'll be thinking it's over and they're 23.
That's true.
You know, so the best teacher for your children is you rise on up in the midst of all the stuff and everything that might be facing you and believe the grace for a supernatural turnaround in your life. Praise God. There is grace for that. Praise God. There is grace for that. Hallelujah. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
You know, I got my crying baby. Praise the Lord. You know, but
we
got grace for that too. Praise God. There's grace for that. There's grace. So forth. But, you know, I could keep going and we will in a little bit here. But, you know, this right here is enough just to chew on and just to get to meditating on, you know, regarding his grace, the power of it, the sufficiency of it, and it is available right here, right now. It's not coming. It is. He's already released it. It's right there. All that has to be done now is start itemizing it. Start looking in your life. What? Because there, it covers everything in your life.
Yes, it does.
But you got to see it.
Right.
You have to study. You have to see it. You have to see where this area of your life that is not quite right yet, grace has been given for that.
Yes.
That will put you over without any strings.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. That'll make up the gap in your life without any strings or labor attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Glory be to God.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's what I'm saying. Is you see that my point is that it'll cause you to want to stay up just to I got work to do. I'm gonna start putting my life, this stuff in my life, and 90% of it ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not where I want it to be, so forth. And then I'm going to get to where is my grace for that? Okay, Ephesians 1:3 says that, you know, says this. 2 Peter says this. And, you know, Luke 10:17 says this, you know, so forth. And one by one begin to start growing in grace. All right. In the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. So, Father, I thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this time that you've allowed us and to be able to operate in the power and the freedom and the creativity and the expansiveness of your marvelous, marvelous grace. I thank you that you have bestowed it upon us, that we don't have to get qualified because we've been qualified in Christ. And for this, we thank you that it is ours. We're so fortunate. Thank you for you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I speak your word of grace over these, your people, that this word will go forth unchecked and unhindered by any type of demonic force in Jesus' name. And I thank you, it will go and grow and produce a harvest of graciousness in the lives of these your people. For this, Father, I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Now, I want to make sure that as you're hearing this word, because it's all about the word, I want to make sure that you know, get on our website, PastorDavidRoberts.com, and take advantage of everything. And as this begins to be a blessing unto you, if this word begins to prompt a desire to partner with us, praise God, then we want to receive that from you and would love to have you in partnering with us and taking this gospel to all the places that the Lord would give us a platform for and freedom in and so forth. So if that's you, please go ahead and follow the Holy Spirit. Become a partner with us and start supporting. And again, it's not you're not giving to get blessed. You're giving because you believe you already are blessed. So forth. So we got big plans. There's a lot of things that we want to do and we're going to do. So forth that I'm going to be sharing on in the next month or so and so forth. So I'm excited about this and so forth. So again, I want you to get on the site, explore, see, be blessed and make sure you're staying in contact. We're putting things out all during the week as well. All right. So until next time, remember, Jesus is Lord. The devil is defeated and together we can make a difference.
You've been listening to Living on Purpose with Pastor David Roberts. To hear more, visit PastorDavidRoberts.com. And subscribe to our weekly podcast where we share real answers to living your best life.